Welcome to the Shooting the Cue podcast, presented by Heath Riles Barbecue, with tips, tricks, and an inside look with some of the top pitmasters in the game. Now here's your host, Heath Riles.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Shooting the Cue. Today I am joined by my lovely wife, Candace. How are you doing today, hon?
I'm doing good. Finally better over a cold I had for what seemed like weeks.
Well, our daughter.
Her allergies.
Our daughter's been the same way. I think she's had a cough for about 2 weeks.
Yes.
Y'all are just about she's over fine. The sickness. Just about.
She's still full speed, so.
Lord knows she is. Well, we took a much needed adult quick
mini trip
this last week. And so what were your thoughts on Hot Springs, Arkansas? We went over to Hot Springs for a few days.
We've been there before, but it's been many, many years ago. It was good. We didn't really go there to do any special thing. We just kind of went to relax and do nothing, honestly. I mean, because we don't get to do that at home or here.
No.
So, I mean, we had an Airbnb kind of up on a mountain.
I would clearly say it was a mountain. It was a little sketchy.
It kind of overlooked
Lake Hamilton.
It overlooked Lake Hamilton, but you could see a lot, not just the lake in the distance. It was very, very nice, very pretty.
It was.
View. So that was good. It was pouring rain the day we got there.
Yeah, I got soaked trying to get in. But it did clear up, but it was kind of chilly.
It was pretty cool
days,
the whole time we were there.
Except for the last day. It was semi.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. Which was good, but like you said, we mostly just laid up and watched TV and slept and just went to town to eat and things like that. And that brings us to some stellar restaurants that we discovered in Hot Springs,
Arkansas.
Well,
we also discovered don't go there on Monday because everything's closed.
Correct.
So don't, if you want to go out to eat on a Monday in Hot Springs, good luck.
It's not very many choices. We did, what did we have that day? Like some Mexican or something?
It was actually considered something in the Mexican cuisine, but no, it was like a fancier term than that, but it was not as fancy as they made it out to be, but it was still good.
It was
good. I don't remember the name of that restaurant though.
Well, the name of the restaurants that we do remember, and how do you say that?
I was going to let you, I think that it's like Steinhauskeller, but I'm probably saying it wrong. Is a German restaurant there that several people told us to go to.
It was so good.
And we kind of researched it a little bit, and it was highly recommended in that area.
And you think that it, when you go in, it's kind of small and not very many people there till you turn the corner.
True.
And then it opens up very large, and the tables were full, and it was kind of loud. Not loud. I mean, semi, but the food was absolutely incredible. Everything that we ordered was spectacular, I thought.
What all this? So we started off like, well, I had wine, but I think you had what, water or something. But then we started off with like a starter appetizer or like a combination sampler or whatever.
Yeah,
so we could
kind
of try a lot of the appetizers they had. It was just like a very small portion of each one. I don't even know if I remember everything on there, but.
But the one thing that was so good was the sauerkraut cake.
Yes.
Almost like a crab cake, but it was made out of
sausage.
Sauerkraut and had sausage. I think it was sausage in it, yes.
And I don't even like sausage normally, but it was pretty good. It was a different kind of.
What kind of dipping sauce was that? Was it?
I don't remember.
I'll just know I would drive back to Hot Springs for that food.
So that was good, but then I mean, so we had, you were excited about the cabbage rolls, which
cabbage rolls were good, but
they weren't
were,
bad, but they're kind of had a sweet taste to them, and I'm not a sweet person when it comes to like a main entree. Like if it's dessert, then it's dessert. But if it's meat, it shouldn't be sweet, in my opinion.
That's right.
So the cabbage rolls and it had some, they had some mushrooms on there. Those were really good. They also had another kind of mushroom that was.
Those were stuffed mushrooms.
Yeah.
They were good.
And then what else was on there? Do you remember?
I don't know. I guess I probably should look this up.
I don't remember everything either, but it was like several.
But you, your main course for dinner was what?
What did I get?
It was like beef.
It was a type of beef, but I don't remember the name of it per se. But it was
really rich.
You said you thought it was like a brisket that they had cooked down, but it basically was a beef with, I think it had carrots and like.
It was braised. I'm not going to say it was a stew.
No, it wasn't a stew. It just had like a thicker, almost a gravy that it was in, but not.
It was good.
It was kind of close to a gravy and a thick sauce. I don't really know.
It had a demi-glaze type sauce.
Correct. And so, like, it said that it was marinated for, I think it said 4 days or something. They marinate this beef and the vegetables in, like, an apple cider vinegar mixture with some other things. And then after that, they cook it. And I believe that sauce also had, like, some vinegar in it. And that's why I like, you know, vinegars
it was
and
good.
Tartness and that kind of thing. But it was very good. And then I do like sauerkraut, but I'm not like, oh, I have to have it. But our waiter was like, no, our sauerkraut's really good. You should try it. So I did get that. And it was actually very, very, very good there.
It was not like traditional sauerkraut at all. It was very good.
It was excellent.
But.
And what did you get?
I had the beef stroganoff there.
Yeah.
And it said it had like crispy onion shallots on top.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. Okay. It had a few sprinkles of them. And I'm going to tell you, I thought it was very good. You could tell the noodles were homemade.
Well, so that was the other thing. They don't traditionally, or when you order it, it doesn't come with the noodles. So that's you right. have to like tell them if you want noodles with it.
And it's not egg noodles. That's what I was going to say. They are like homemade, and I don't really know that style of noodle, but it was almost really small where it was like pushed through something and cut off to go in the broth to make the noodle. It was kind of really uniquely shaped. I can't remember. It was like a real off name of the pasta that they were using, but it was an incredible dish. If I could critique it any kind of way, I would say it needed a little bit more salt just because of the pasta.
I like mine better than yours.
And all that. Yours did have a good flavor from the marinated 4 days.
And then, so some of the sides that we ordered, do you remember? So we got the cucumber tomato, like vinegar-based type salad that you wanted to try, but then I wanted the
cucumber deal,
which had like a yogurt type base.
It was so good.
It was very, very good.
It was very good.
My picks are usually better than yours, I feel.
And then what else was there as a side? It seems like we ordered one more thing.
The sauerkraut was a side, and then the potato cakes that you wanted that came with like a little dollop of applesauce. And I wasn't that impressed with those, but I think you liked them.
Maybe I'm just used to Perkins on that one.
Perkins.
I mean, everybody laughs, but I love the potato pancakes at Perkins.
I haven't been there in years.
I know, but, and maybe potato pancakes, some people has had them with leftover mashed potatoes. Some people hadn't. Some people used hash browns.
I was going to say, so I felt like theirs was more of like a texture of a hash brown base.
Yes.
Potato cake.
It was.
And that's what was kind of awkward to me, I guess, just because I'm not used to eating it. It wasn't bad. It's just not what I was used to.
I know. The potato cakes I'm used to is basically leftover mashed potatoes. You take
that your grandma
flour.
Made.
Yeah, yeah, little bits of shallot or onion, you know, some butter. Yeah. You fry them up, serve them with applesauce. They're
that's
so
not
good.
The German version, though.
Well, that's Heath's version. And Heath's version is pretty good, I can tell you. But moving on from the German restaurant. Yep. So the next day, we're going to get out for some lunch. And he's like, where are we going? And I'm like, well, yesterday we passed a Mediterranean restaurant. And so we got to looking, and we found a place called The Goat. I remember the name of it.
The Goat Mediterranean Food or Grill or something
Grill.
Like that.
That's what it was. I'm here to tell you.
It was
the waiter was spectacular to be a lunch place.
He was
place.
Very unique.
Very
individual.
Unique, gentlemen. And knew the menu
knew
inside
you.
And out.
He knew about your, he said that he had watched some videos you had done on cast iron.
Yes, he did. From TikTok or something.
Yeah.
And, but that's after we got to talking.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But he was very nice and knowledgeable for her.
He was knowledgeable of their menu.
Knew the menu inside and out, could describe the dishes. Yep. And just the way he described them, I'm like, okay, I got to have that. And, you know, we ordered several things and carried a two plates of food with us to go.
A lot. Yeah, but we over-ordered.
Of the hummus and the doma.
What was that?
Falafel.
What was the feta? It wasn't whipped feta, but they didn't call it whipped feta. They called it something feta.
Is it creamy feta?
No, that's not what they called it. But it had like a mixture of feta cheese that had kind of been
mashed on.
Mashed or something. It had like red peppers and.
It's a roasted red pepper feta dip is what it was.
I don't think that's what it was called, but yes, that's what it was. And it was
something like that.
It was amazing.
It was very good. But that whole meal was. I had the a gyro, and it was. I just tried to order that simple.
What did I eat there? I got the eggplant.
Yes, you did. You got the stacked eggplant, almost like a lasagna, but it wasn't. It was vegetarian, right? Or did it have meat?
No, it had meat.
Well, I can tell you, you give me a bite of that.
It was very good.
And it was probably the best.
It was pretty too.
Layered eggplant.
The way it came out.
Yeah, it looked like a 5-star dish to be at lunch.
And it was very good.
And this place was in a shopping center, by the way. It was not a standalone restaurant. It was in a bay of a shopping center, and it was.
It could have been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I feel like.
It was banging, 100%.
It really was good.
And supposedly the family owns, was it one or two more Mediterranean restaurants?
Two more restaurants in the area is what the waiter told us.
And, well, by the reviews, when I looked online, all of them were almost 5-star. They were like 4.7, 4.8. Yeah. And then one right up under it was like 4.6, you know, right? And so I'm kind of thinking it's the same family that owns both those two that popped up on Maybe. Google reviews.
But that one was great. I would want to go back to it.
It was really
I mean, I'm
good.
Sure the others are good too, but that one was such a good experience.
So when we left there, before that, we had stopped at the butcher shop.
So our whole plan, kind of backing up a little bit, we knew, so we were only there for 3 nights, but we knew, we kind of talked about we were going to cook at the Airbnb one night just because, I mean, we cook dinner at home, but it's not like it used to be with a 2-year-old running around. But
that's right.
We just said, well, one night we're going to just cook steaks and be at the Airbnb, basically.
Open a nice bottle of wine up.
But we didn't take steaks with us, so we had to locally source them.
We did, and the name of the meat market was Weldon's Meat Market and Butcher Shop. And we looked it up, and to my surprise.
Well, actually, another gentleman told us about it in, were we in Harps?
Public. No, not Public.
They don't have a Publix there.
Wasn't Publix, I'm sorry. Kroger.
Oh, okay.
It was a Kroger we went in. He told us about it.
We went to several stores.
And the Weldon's Meat Market, for anybody's in Hot Springs, please stop in. They have Creekstone Prime beef and pork. They make all their sandwiches and deli meats and all that. They do some smoking in-house and make deli meats. They make, it's all kind of homemade jams and jellies in there from different vendors. They make salads and sandwiches and dips.
So we got two of the Creekstone Farm fillets from there that were very nice fillets.
Some stuffed twice-baked potatoes made.
Yeah, so they say they're known for their twice-baked potatoes. I don't know if that's just
they were good.
They were good. And then you saw they do homemade banana pudding, so you had to buy
a little canister of it, and it was very good.
And then they also had some homemade yeast rolls there that we bought just a really small thing of.
And all of that was very good. We made a little simple side salad.
Yep.
And actually, before we went, I actually prepped like some mushrooms and some onion and garlic and different things like that, and I'd brought it in my cooler already sealed up, done. So it made cooking very simple, very easy. I had my Yeti Go box and a few things in it, and luckily they had a good old char griller, cheap gas grill there.
It worked.
Hey, but it heated up, and I could show you the pictures of the steaks. They had great grill marks, did they not?
They were good, yeah.
Looked like it come from a 5-star dining restaurant when I was done with it.
And so, so you opened your mouth, I think, maybe the second day we were there about a show that you wanted to start watching. So pre-child, we used to binge watch shows like when we had nothing better to do, I guess.
On the weekends and things.
Yeah.
Like that,
now our TV stays on Miss Rachel and and Blippi and all the fun stuff. We're lucky if we even get to watch the news. But you mentioned that you had heard about a show called Reacher and that you wanted to watch the first episode. Well, that turned into, well, we have to finish this before we go home because we're not going to be able to.
It was a good show. I mean, it was a good show. Two seasons out, and I think we still like watch a couple episodes being left to finish in the second season. But we basically just from the evening times till we went to bed at midnight, we sit there and binge watch TV, just laid up. The weather kind of sucked, and we were just there to relax anyway. I was not there to do anything. I did not want to be productive those 3 days away from home. I wanted to have a chill time.
Yeah.
When we got back.
Yeah, it was a good time. I would go there again. I liked the Airbnb aspect of it. When we went several years ago, we stayed at a hotel, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I thought it was cool since we knew we wanted to cook a dinner for ourselves and all that. I really enjoyed
that. Well, we hadn't been over there in like 12 years.
Oh, yeah. It's been a really long time. It's developed a lot since then. A whole lot.
Well, I will tell anybody that's looking for bourbon. I stopped in a liquor store, several liquor stores. I'm a bourbon hunter. When I'm out of town, I stop and see if I can find something.
What was the name of that liquor store?
I don't remember, but it was beside the Harps.
Harps right there, yeah.
And I will tell you, if you're looking for Pappy 23 or you're looking for, you know,
if you run a Weller, really overpay for it,
you're
going to
really overpay for it. That guy was crazy. He told me $5,000, and I laughed at him. I'm like, are you a joke to me?
And then we went back to that same liquor store to get some wine. He was like, oh, you came back to buy it. You're like, no.
You know, I told him I'd buy the damn store before I bought that bottle of liquor. That's exactly what I told him. That's and he said, I don't own a store. And I said, that's the reason why. I mean, because not knocking it. Don't get me wrong. I've not had Pappy 23. I'd love to try it. But I'm not giving $5,000 for it. I'm not doing it. And especially when I know it come from a state allocated liquor store that they paid, you know, maybe $85 for or 100 and something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit crazy.
But something else big to do over there, which we didn't go there, Oaklawn is over there.
We did. You don't like me to go gamble.
No, but I would like to go watch the horse race when that was going on there. I don't even know.
We passed there a couple of times and, they were out there practicing and things
like
that.
They did have some horses out there just kind of running around practicing. It was kind of cool.
Well, with the Kentucky Derby coming up.
The what?
Kentucky Derby coming up. I am sure that, I don't know if some of the horses are practicing over there to go to the Kentucky Derby or what.
Well, Oaklawn is also a race.
Oh, I know, but I didn't, like, I don't know when that race is. Do you know?
I know the Derby is in May, but I don't know if Oaklawn is before that or after that because I know they have their series. Like, all of those are pretty close together, I feel like, that they run all those horses at. But I don't know exactly. Yeah. No, I'd have to look it up. But
maybe we can get to Oaklawn before the Kentucky Derby.
We had plans to do the Derby, and then COVID hit. We never made it.
The year that COVID hit, we were supposed to be going to the Derby and the Masters. We had tickets lined up. We had, I mean, friends that hooked us up at the Masters for the house. We weren't paying anything. And yeah,
we were COVID sitting in Chicago right before the whole world shut down in that hotel. And then there was the announcement, remember, that the Masters was canceled right there on the news. And we were like, well, we're not doing that anymore.
I mean, can't win them all, right?
So what else have you been cooking lately? What have you been
doing? I just got done with a low and slow Boston butt I cooked on the Traeger Ironwood XL. And, of course, it's hard to beat good pulled pork. And I will say that I love cooking hot and fast, but putting on a butt or a brisket, and this was a butt, I trimmed the fat off of the fat cap just so I could get a little more bark. And I really like doing that when I'm cooking low and slow. And the reason I like that is it just helps develop a little more bark. You know that you're not going to burn it or mess it up when you're cooking that low. And I put that butt on like at 5:30 that afternoon, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's right, 5:30.
Exactly, but.
And the next morning at 6 o'clock when I went out there, that butt was only at like 160 degrees. And it looked just as pretty, and I never spritzed it one time. I never done anything. And I let it go, and we did not wrap that thing up till about 8 o'clock. It had got to close to 170, and we bumped the grill up to almost 250 and dumped about a half bottle of vinegar sauce on with it and let it eat.
So you trim that way when you're doing the low and slow. If you're cooking hot and fast, do you trim a butt differently?
I mean, it just depends on what I'm doing and how I want it. I wanted more bark on that butt for low and slow. And I will say that me doing that, and I wrapped it up and I let it rest for like 4 hours maybe before I got in there and chopped it up, pulling a blade bone out and then just mashing the pork up. It's as simple as that. Because if you remove that fat cap, there's not a lot of fat you got to pick out of there. You know, when you're cooking that low, it usually renders a tremendous amount of fat out of that pork butt. And it's still juicy. I mean, so it kind of just depends. There is 10 ways to get somewhere. And that low and slow butt's just one of the techniques. You could have left the fat cap on it. You could.
That's what I was going to say. Do you ever not trim at all?
Yeah, plenty. I'm going to say I'm a probably 50-50 man. I probably trim 50% of the time. It just depends on how big of a hurry I'm in.
Well, I feel like it depends what you're cooking for sometimes, too.
It does.
Am I wrong about that?
No. I mean, if I'm just cooking some pork butts for like...
To go feed several people
and all that, a lot of times I don't do any trimming whatsoever. I'm making sure there's no bone shards or anything on that butt, and I'm rubbing it down and putting it on and going. And it also depends on what cooker I'm cooking on.
Do you think that there's any mistakes that people make when they're trimming butts? Like, is there a wrong way to trim, in your opinion?
You know, I don't like cutting into the money muscle. I'm going to say there's not a right or a wrong way on a pork butt. It's very forgiving. So leaving the fat cap on, leaving it off, you can take the cook a boneless. You can cook a bone in. You know, you can cook a half a butt. You see grocery stores that kind of, they cut so many pork steaks off the bone in, right?
Yeah.
And then it gets down, and you may have a little 3-pound, 4-pound butt that a lot of your people buy in the store.
They're called something, aren't
they? Pork roast. Mm. And so that's what a lot of you, and it's got the money muscle in. It may have a little bit of bone in one end. And that's probably, I'm going to say, about what 85% of your females buy at the store to go in the crock pot. No, I'm not meaning anything bad by that, but you don't really see people.
So is that like what your grandma used to cook in wickers?
Yeah,
like
seriously.
Pour a whole bottle of Wickers in the crock pot.
That's what our parents did, or in the oven.
I mean,
whatever.
I liked it. I'm not complaining. I thought it was good.
Sometimes it was Coca-Cola. I mean, it just depends. You know, older generations had some crazy ways, and it's funny you bring up the Wickers things. You know, good friend of ours owns Wickers now.
I haven't had it in years, but back when I was a kid, I liked it.
Your dad
tastes
enjoys
the same,
Wickers.
Right?
Yeah,
the recipe hasn't changed.
Yeah, it has not
changed.
Jeff has added some more.
Options
as far as he's got some barrel aged ones, some bourbon barrel aged ones. So he makes it up and puts it inside bourbon barrels he buys from other people.
Fancy.
Unique, and I think
fancy
it's pretty
like
cool.
Fancy like Jeff.
And I have not had that. Jeff needs to send me some of that. He was supposed to get up on the show here at one point and have not. He's been so busy, though, between everything he's got going on. But there is no right or wrong way with that. And where I was going with it, you can actually take the bone out and fillet that thing, almost like cut it in half, but leave it attached. And you can stretch a butt out to 20, 24 inches long and get a lot of bark off of it. And it won't be but probably 2 or 3 inches thick.
Does that change the texture if you cook it that way? Like, not just the bark, but, like, the whole thing? Like, if you were going to make – would you want to make, like, pulled pork sandwiches if you did your butt like that?
You know, it would still pull. You just got to get it tender.
So the texture wouldn't be different?
I'm not going to say it wouldn't. It might alter it just a little bit because you're not cooking as thick a piece of meat as normally.
Yeah.
And so it
may not be as tender even.
Well, you're going to get it as tender when you wrap it up. No matter whether how thick it is or how thin it is, you're only cooking it to a certain temp before you wrap it.
So it would just cook quicker.
That's right. Just cook quicker.
I can't talk. So the butt that you cooked, you used the garlic butter and pecan rub on. Any reason you chose those? Just
using a different combination, and it turned out to be very good. It had a good savory bite to it from the garlic butter and the pecan. The pecan rub does have a little sweet hit on your lips, but it's got that white pepper in it. It balances out very well in the back of your mouth. And so that was just a good savory pork butt. And wrapping with that vinegar sauce just kind of give it that snap.
But you put sweet sauce on it too.
I did. Yeah.
So... do you prefer one over the other when it comes to low and slow or hot and fast? Or like you said, it just kind of depends what you're doing.
It just kind of depends on what I'm doing.
But if you're going to be eating it, though, do you have a preference?
It depends on how much time I got. That's the whole Monty. If I've got time to cook low and slow and we're just cooking one or two butts for us at home and people are coming over, I can put them on the day before and roll with it. If I'm wanting to sit outside on the patio and not come in the house and tinker around and get a good grilled flavor, I'm going to fire up the Gateway Drum or the Outlaw Patio Smoker, get more of a traditional barbecue taste on the Outlaw, get that grilled flavor on the Outlaw. It just kind of really depends on what I'm going for. A pellet grill is just smoked pork butt. I mean, it's good. It's consistent. You can't beat it. It does not have the flavor that that Outlaw or that Drum does, but it's still really, really good barbecue.
Yeah.
So it just really depends on what you want as at that time.
What about letting it rest? Do you feel like that's an important step that you have to do, or can you skip that if you're in a hurry ever? Or if you do skip it, how does that affect the meat?
So I feel like whether you're cooking low and slow or hot and fast, you really need to let your meat rest. And cooking low and slow, you don't really seem like you have to let it rest as long.
Yeah.
But cooking hot and fast, you shock that meat so much with that high heat, and you tense it up, those muscles, yeah, right? It seems like to me you just need to really let it rest a minimum of at least 2 hours to really just let it relax and kind of breathe again. And then when you get it to open up, it should be tender and all fine. That's really the key to cooking hot and fast is a long rest time. I would say I would at least give it 1 hour on low and slow and at least 2 hours on hot and fast. But really, the longer the better. So if it'd be 2 and 3, 3 or 4.
And when you say let it rest, like what is your version of, do you just sit it on the counter? Do you put it in something?
I like resting it in a Yeti cooler or some type of Cambro device. I like keeping that steam trapped in.
You leave it wrapped?
I like to kind of vent my pork or my brisket, say 5 minutes after it comes off the grill. And then I wrap it back up and put it in the cooker. Or not in the cooker, in the cooler or the Cambro.
Yeah, whatever you're putting
I in. Really feel like that 3 to 5 minutes of letting that steam off of it really helps slow it down some. And then when it goes in the Cambro or the cooler, it can just finish relaxing, kind of just ease off, if that makes sense.
So a question that we've gotten people kind of ask about when you say prime and you cook prairie fresh pork. So can you kind of explain the differences in pork whenever you use that term?
Yeah, it's basically just a grating that Prairie Fresh uses to separate their lines of pork. And they have an all-natural line and they have a prime line. So don't hold me to this, but I believe their prime line is like 2% of the top of their pyramid chain. And so only 2% of their breeding animals make the prime side. Everything else is considered all natural, and they also have other divisions in there. They're owned by Seaboard Farms, so that's a huge portfolio you have there. But the top 2% of their chain should be the prime rib, so you're cooking a better rib. It's got heritage bred hogs bred into that program. So just being the top 2% of that chain, I like to feel like I'm cooking the best when I cook.
So what does that mean, primes. Heritage bred hog?
So, you know, I've cooked a lot of hogs over my life. I've cooked comparts, which is a Duroc blend.
Yeah. And basically,
you got local farmers.
Kind of like beef, right?
Kind of like beef. Kind of like Wagyu, prime, choice, certified Angus beef. It's all about fat content, about marbling, and all that kind of stuff. And so they say redder is better, right? Compart, that's kind of his slogan. And you can kind of tell the Prairie Fresh Prime line is really red too. And it's just a grating, kind of like the Wagyu beef is kind of the best way to explain it. But you basically got guys on the line grating, and whatever they see fit goes to one side and the other gets kicked to the other. They're trying to pick out the best meat to go to the prime line. That's the way it's been explained to me.
Gotcha. So for this butt that we were talking about, you said you cooked with, or you wrapped with the barbecue sauces. Do you ever wrap with anything besides barbecue sauce?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes I wrap with nothing. Sometimes I'll spritz my meat with apple juice and wrap it up. You can kind of depend. If it's still got the fat cap on it, I don't mind not wrapping with anything. And the reason why is because that fat's going to render down once you wrap it up. And you're going to have a lot of liquid in your foil to kind of help, right, retain that moisture. When you trim that fat cap off and you trim all those little pieces off the butt, me wrapping with about a half bottle of vinegar sauce or half and half sweetened vinegar or butter bath or straight apple juice and some brown sugar, it just kind of depends on what you want. Pineapple juice, any kind of juices is fine. Or some half a sticks of butter and maybe some brown sugar. Some comp guys do that. But you really just want to impart a little more flavor and a little more sweetness to that.
Yeah.
Is all you're trying to do. But wrapping with anything, I do like wrapping with my 50-50 sauce mixtures, what I used to wrap with in comp, especially my money muscles. And then my major pork butts or shoulders, I'd wrap sometimes in butter bath. Well, not my shoulders. My shoulders, I do sauce and do nothing in them because they're such a big piece of meat.
I feel like you haven't cooked shoulder in a while.
It's been a minute. I do. You know, I almost had an itch to change the shoulder at Memphis in May. I had an itch. I kept twitching.
Twitching.
I did. Let's see with road Texas, I mean, because even though I love cooking ribs, you know shoulder is one of my next main categories.
Well, so back to cooking pork in general or talking about the butt, I feel like reheating is a big topic because most of the time when people, I mean, not most of the time, it depends what you're cooking for and how many people you have. But like if you cook a pork butt at home and it's just us, we have a lot left over. So what do you do with that? What do you like to do with it? And well, back up before that, how do you, if you're just going to reheat the butt and eat the meat, how do you recommend for people to do that? If it's been in the refrigerator and they just say want a pulled pork sandwich, what's the best way to reheat the, where it keeps all of the juices and flavors in your opinion?
Well, there are 10 ways to Sunday to get there. True. For that. It kind of depends on how much pork is left. So I'm going to separate this out. If you've got leftover pulled pork from you've already ate some of the butt, you're usually going to stick it in a sandwich bag. Or if we're going to create another dish out of it, I stick it in a sandwich bag, throw it in the fridge, right? Yeah. If I'm going to stick it in the freezer, I try to vacuum seal it. And so when I thaw it out, I either A, let it thaw out all the way, or you can just throw it in boiling water in that vacuum bag and it will come back just like you just pulled it off the pit.
Right.
You know, the other thing for me is I've gotten really bad about taking, if I just want a little bit, like a pulled pork grilled cheese or to warm up a little bit, I'm going to chop it up cold, cut it out of the pack, throw it in a bowl, and I'm going to throw it on my flat top and warm it up like an old school diner does it, and put a little sauce on it, chop it up, and put it on a toasted bun. I think that's good. If I'm reheating a whole Boston butt and I didn't vacuum seal or anything like that, I like putting it in a pan. I like pouring a little bit of Coke or Sprite over it, maybe a little barbecue sauce, but I don't like using my thick barbecue sauces for that, right? I really just want to impart a little bit more moisture to that.
Yeah.
And I take Saran wrap and put over the pan. Then I take foil and put over the top of that and put in the oven to warm up. And so the reason you're using a Saran wrap is kind of trapping that moisture inside so nothing can escape out of that, and your pulled pork should be moist and all. But we both know that heating pulled pork like that, it's good, but it's not like it just come off the grill.
Well, that was gonna what I was gonna say. Do you feel like when you reheat pulled pork that it's ever the same as when it first came off? So I guess your answer is no.
It depends. The only way to truly do that is to put the meat in a vacuum bag while it's still hot.
Yeah.
Seal it up, let it cool down or blast chill it, put it in the freezer, pull it out, let it thaw, warm it up in the vacuum bag in boiling water. And if you do that, I can do two pans, one fresh off the grill, it's been rested in a cooler and for 2 hours and do it up, and one over here that was 2 months old. You're probably not going to be able to tell me the difference in them.
Yeah.
It just depends on how much effort you put into that butt, you know, is what it really depends on.
So what are some of the ways that you like the left? I know you said kind of grilled on the flat top, make a sandwich, but I mean, what other ways do you like?
That's the most common. I either like eating it as a plate, warming it up on the flat top like that, or making a sandwich out of it with some coleslaw. I love putting it in a barbecue quesadilla on the flat top.
Yeah. Pizza. You can make pizzas.
I love making barbecue pizzas out of it. I like making barbecue nachos out of it. We've done some enchiladas before.
I feel like you always say you want to make tamales, homemade tamales out of leftover pulled pork.
Now, I've sent it to some ladies, and they've made tamales for me.
Right, but you haven't actually done it.
I haven't actually made tamales.
And you said that you would like to do that at some point. I know it's probably...
when the big kitchen gets finished. When the big kitchen...
probably a task. I don't know. I've never made homemade tamales.
I'm up for the task. I think it would be cool. I'm probably going to be showing. I'm going to screw it up at first. But
so you mentioned coleslaw on a sandwich. Do you feel like every time you eat a pulled pork sandwich that you have to have coleslaw? And if so, what kind of coleslaw? Because there's so many.
I am very picky about coleslaw, and we both know it. Well, there's a huge difference in coleslaw. You can't take coleslaw, mix it up out of the bag, and then immediately eat it. It has to be put in the... You can, but it's not good. It's like eating raw cabbage with some dressing on it. No, when you take and you put it in the fridge, depending on how you prepare that slaw, and you let it sit there 2 to 3 hours or either overnight, that slaw gets better. It gets better. Now, a lot of times people put too much mayonnaise in their slaw.
Yeah.
And then it gets real watery. That's the thing about slaw. True. Cabbage has got a little bit of natural moisture to it, and that salt and all that brings it out, right? And so you kind of want to put less mayo and then let it sit and marinate 3 or 4 hours and see where you're at. And if you need to add more, you can, you know. But I like a good black pepper. It depends on what it's going on.
A sandwich. That's what I said. We're talking about pulled pork sandwich. Like
my grandmother's old school coleslaw, she had grated red onion in it, carrots, cabbage, and a lot of black pepper. It was not a sweet slaw. And then I like a vinegar slaw also on pulled pork. And it seems like to me a sweet slaw don't go on pulled pork. Sweet slaw goes with catfish.
No, you're going to say that.
There is a huge difference. And now I do like mustard-based slaws. With certain items, you know, good barbecue bologna sandwich. I like it on pulled pork sandwich as well. Love it at Payne's up here. It almost makes me want to go today to get a sandwich from Payne's. Coleslaw is just so finicky. I mean, you've got Hillary.
What?
You've got heavy-based coleslaws with mayo or mustard or a mix of vinegar as well. Some with just mayo, some with sugar, some without. Some with celery seed, some without. Some heavy black pepper. You know, it just kind of depends on what you're going for. You know, some of the best coleslaw made is made by the sheriff in Marshall County, Kenny Dickerson. And I've been saying that since I was old enough to eat coleslaw. That man, that recipe does not give it to I've asked for it before. He ain't give it to me. I ain't saying other people don't have it. But that with catfish is the superb coleslaw. It's really thin, chopped up.
I don't know that
up.
I've had his.
You did years ago, probably 10 years ago.
So I kind of feel like you already mentioned your favorite place to get slaw. Well, that's locally. Favorite place to get slaw on a sandwich, Payne's? Would that be your answer?
Payne's has a really good mustard slaw.
Or you just like the slaw there?
Payne's has a really good mustard slaw. But I will tell you, Tops ain't sleeping on their coleslaw. It's pretty good. They make it homemade. I like Tops coleslaw. If they don't make it homemade, whoever's packing it for them is doing a really good job. Because it is a decent coleslaw. I don't like really chunky coleslaw. You know, I like finely diced coleslaw.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah, you know. Or angel hair. I like angel hair coleslaw.
Yeah. So do you feel like there's an underrated coleslaw at a restaurant in Memphis or anywhere else we've traveled?
Underrated?
Yeah. I think my answer is going to be, what's the name? Elwood Shack. They have the blue cheese jalapeno coleslaw. It's amazing if you've never had it. We have made our own version of it. I love blue cheese jalapeno coleslaw. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's excellent.
It has very, very little mayo, maybe not much at all. Purple cabbage, blue cheese, a little bit of lime juice is what he told me before, and some seasonings. And, you know, we mimicked that. We probably went to Las Vegas 10 years ago and cooked in a World Food Championship.
I made it.
Yep. And I winged that and made it.
I shredded the cabbage myself.
It was good. It was good. And we've made it several times since then, but that is
I feel like that's an underrated coleslaw in my opinion. I consider it a coleslaw, but I like different stuff like that. I mean, I like normal coleslaw too, but I like more of a vinegar based, I would say, because as I said previously, I don't like things to be sweet that shouldn't be sweet. In my opinion, that should not be sweet.
Well, I have seen a lot of people taking coleslaw out of a bag and using the Whataburger jalapeno ranch to mix up their coleslaw mix. I don't know if anybody else has seen that.
I think I've seen that.
But maybe, call me whatever. I love jalapenos. But I just don't like the jalapeno ranch from Whataburger. It's kind of too spicy for me.
I don't know if I've had it. Have I?
I don't like it. It's kind of a little too spicy for me.
I probably like it. I like spicy.
But I will say, taking a little bit of that on cabbage and adding, I think mango would be good added to it. And now listen, hear me out. Grilled shrimp tacos or grilled fish tacos.
Didn't you have a mango coleslaw recently?
Yeah, I did.
Where was that?
We were out of town.
So we were in Hot Springs at that Fisherman's place. Wharf. And they had mango coleslaw.
It was okay.
There.
It was okay.
I was like, I know you recently had that somewhere.
It was okay, but I thought it would have been better on like a fish or shrimp taco.
What did you get it with? I don't even remember.
Some calamari and some shrimp or something. Not calamari, it wouldn't. It was no. Clam strips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember the mango when you said that.
I love
you like mango,
strips.
Though.
I do. I like mango like, and pineapple and peaches.
Because, like, even when we, which this is off topic, but when we eat sushi, I feel like every sushi roll you order, you add mango to it.
I don't to every one of them.
Most.
Crunchy shrimp roll, add mango, cream cheese.
See?
Spicy mango and eel sauce. Just saying. Try it out
spicy
for yourself.
Spicy mayo, you mean?
Spicy mayo and eel sauce. Add
it. I'm not a big eel sauce fan.
Man, that sweet spicy is very good. Really, really good.
All right. I feel like we've talked a lot about coleslaw and all of those things. So coming up, it's time for the Memphis in May meeting.
Yep.
It's coming up this weekend, which it'll have already passed. I know.
Going to pick the pack up. And what are we about? 45 days out? 40 days? What is it?
I have no idea. I'm surprised we don't have like a
countdown.
A countdown here in the office.
I don't need a countdown, guy. I'm not ready yet. I mean, I'm completely still wore out. We're still getting stuff together, but I guess.
So talk about the meeting. What is the meeting?
Basically, they have a team meeting, and if you want to attend, your team or you or whoever, come pick your pack up with your wristbands in it, all your parking passes, all your stuff, and they kind of go over any rule changes or anything like that.
You sit in a room, and they basically
sit in a room,
inform you of everything. And
they've got tables set up for, like, different vendors and all that in your packs as you can get with the different vendors, or you need to rent
talk
stuff, or liquor company, or the beer company, or all that kind of mess, you know, right, power. Yeah. They've got it all there laid out, and we've already kind of – you can pre-fill your stuff out and have your pack already ready. So I'm just kind of picking it up and going to shake hands, and I would say kiss babies, but, you know, just shake hands and see a bunch of – I mean, honestly, I love going because we go out to eat, get some lunch, a few beers, and that's kind of a Memphis thing. You know, everybody kind of gathers up downtown and has drinks and carries on. Those meetings have turned into some long nights before for me. I think you know that.
So they kind of divide it to like
so rib change.
Rib goes at a certain time, then hog goes at a certain time, shoulder goes. Well, I'm not saying it in the right order.
No, it's rib and patio teams first.
Oh, they're together?
Then it's hog and shoulders next. Yeah, it's just two meetings.
Haven't they done it? Oh, I thought they used to do it where it was like all separated out. But
yeah.
So, yeah, it's just – and I know some people are coming in town for that because we've already gotten some phone calls.
Yeah, Big Mo called.
Yeah.
Get together, have some brunch with Mo, hang out. Some of his guys is coming in, and, of course, all the locals around here. It's going to be a good time.
I'll be at home.
Had to hit Bar Dog up.
It's kind of
like
same.
A pre-ritual.
Yeah, but Brittany doesn't work there anymore.
I know, but she did.
She was a favorite bartender.
I know. She was a really good bartender. I like working with her for many years, or working with her anyway, when I was in the beer business.
Yeah.
She always took care of me.
So what else is coming up? You got?
Not much. Spring Fest is coming up in a couple weeks. Memphis in May is after that. We got the Memphis in May meeting this weekend. We've got some new products coming out. We've got the two new glazes that will be out maybe in the next, I don't know, within the next week.
Ish.
Weekish. We're trying
Let's
to get photos made
ish.
And all that. Maybe week to two. We're, you know, we production ish. And all that kind of stuff, photos, all that. So maybe within a couple of weeks, we'll get the pineapple and apple glazes out to everybody. And
what about the competition sauce?
And the competition barbecue sauce. We had new labels and stuff made for that. And all that will be available. And then we've got some more rubs coming later on this summer. A couple more rubs. We talk about that later on. I won't let the cat out of the bag on those rubs yet.
All right. Well.
Well, I appreciate everybody today for tuning in. As always, we stay busy. Appreciate everybody for following along and watching us. We'll see y'all next time on another episode of Shooting the Q.
Thank you for tuning in to the Shooting the Q podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out to us on our social media channels or through our website. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Leave us a review if you enjoyed the show. Until next time, keep shooting the cue.